Amen. How many of you brought your Bibles to the house of God? Amen. Have you been reading your Bibles? Amen. The word of the Lord says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. Somebody say pray. And seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent. Notice this, attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell him it's time to pray. Oh, we can do better than that. Tell him it's time to pray. Amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. I need a helper. How about Carson? Why don't you come and help me over here, buddy? And so thankful that parents bring their kids to church. Praise God. Amen. Your mom should get extra credit today. Praise God. And you going to help me out here, buddy? All right. You want to see Jonah? All right. Here we go. Why don't you hold him? Ooh. Jonah's back and he's better than ever. Why don't you look and show them Jonah? This is Jonah. Is he really in there?
Yep.
Is he alive?
Yep. I think they're moving.
He's blowing you a kiss. Look at that. All right. And is this water?
Yep. That's
it's water. Thank you, buddy. Thank you so much. Let's give Carson a hand. So prayer is to us as water is to Jonah. And I did not know this, but I'm learning that we got him a nice little aquarium in the office. This is an RT fish. And I think he's Greek because he's a betta fish. And so, but when I had to transfer him into this bowl from the little aquarium, I had to treat the water and let it sit for a while. Because it had to, that's what I was told I needed to do. And so it's a lot like prayer that it takes time for us to see our prayers answered. Many times we could pray for something and the Lord will answer right away. And sometimes, or he always answers. He just doesn't answer in our expectation at times. But then sometimes we'll pray and it'll take a little while for the Lord to answer our prayer. And I want us to understand every time we see this bowl of water with this fish is just as the fish needs water, we need prayer. You are fooling yourself if you think you can live for God. You are, in fact, you are out of your mind if you think you're going to go through the end time without prayer. Thank you, Brother Bonham. You are just fooling yourself. The joke is on you. You might as well be a clown because you're not going to make it. You'll be gasping for air because we have seen over the last 2 years the weak get weaker and the strong get stronger, and we can understand that it's because of prayer. We have stepped it up in intensity with our prayer. We have made more opportunities for us to pray collectively, and I want to thank you for those that are praying. But when we get at our scripture text, This evening, we see that Solomon had just prayed. He had just dedicated the temple. It was a tremendous time for the people of God to be able to have a place that they can go and worship together in. And Solomon prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, right around verse 12, he begins to pray. He publicly prayed. He did it out in front. He was on a big platform that he had built. And he's making an appeal. He's making a request to the Lord. And what we have read tonight in our scripture text is the answer to that prayer. Is the Lord answering the prayer of Solomon? In fact, the scripture tells us that that the Lord answered and talked to Solomon by night and gave him this revelation and talked to him about what was about to take place. And so this fish right here, sis, may look like he's bored. It may look out of place. This is a very plain, Madeline, this is very plain right here. But this is what the fish needs. He needs water. This is what, Carlos, this is what, well, he needs water. Like some people need tacos. This fish needs water. He needs water. And a bigger fish tank won't keep him alive. A fish tank with all the decorative stuff is not what he needs. What he needs is water. This is what he needs. And the first point I want to make tonight, I got 2 points. Is the first point is prayer is our lifeline. A lifeline is a line or a rope for saving life. Notice this. As one that is attached to a lifeboat, it's a lifeline is a route or a means of transportation or communication for receiving or delivering assistance, food, medicine, etc. And we need to understand that our relationship with God is just as important, if not more important than breathing and eating and drinking and sleeping and our finances. And we must have a, notice this, we must have a revelation that prayer is more vital than getting sleep. Prayer is more vital than the overtime on your job. It's more vital than the car that you drive, than the money in the bank, than your retirement. It's more. Prayer is more important than extracurricular activities. It's more important than traveling and vacations and family time. Come on, somebody. Amen. Prayer is vital. It is absolutely our lifeline. And we need to have a clear understanding that prayer must become part of the fabric of our relationship with the Lord. It's got to be part of our spiritual DNA. That's what it's got to do. We can't put a price tag on prayer or the value of prayer because the numbers won't add up. We can't be able to quantify the value of prayer. It's so important that prayer affects eternity. And if you can get the revelation or the significance of prayer, you'll never miss a prayer in your life. You'll find a way to, even if it's a 5-minute prayer, you'll find a way to carve out that 5 minutes of uninterrupted time with the Lord. I'm serious when I say this. If you can understand the revelation of prayer, it will change your life. Amen. It'll change your life forever. And I'm going to give you several points about prayer as we go throughout this sermon series. But prayer, for the most part, is talked about more than anything else. And many times, it's sad to say, it's practiced less than anything else. A lot of people talk about prayer, but sometimes folks talk about it and they don't pray. And I could say, I've grown up in the church. I'm talking from experience. A lot of folks that I'm gonna just pick on the trumpet player tonight. They can play the trumpet very well. They can do a great job playing the trumpet. They're talented, but they have no prayer life. They're gonna be like some of those people that the scripture says, "Depart ye that work in iniquity. I never knew you." There's gonna be folks that have worked miracles. They've dressed holy. They were modest. They gave big offerings to the church, but they have no relationship with the Lord. That is going to be a sad, sad day where folks say, well, you know what, and I'm meddling here for a moment, but I am the pastor, that there's folks that you're more worried about your kids passing their test and getting involved in things at school than they are about praying, learning how to pray, showing them how to pray. Shame on them if they don't see their parents pray. Shame on them. Amen. Shame on you, I should say. We need prayer. Amen. Without prayer, we're weak.
That's it.
We're anemic. We're gasping for air spiritually. It's like the phone that has been disconnected and is no longer in service. Without prayer, we're not going to walk in the Spirit. In fact, the scripture tells us in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusted after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Notice this. "And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." When we pray, we have an opportunity to repent.
Yeah.
And I don't know where, Brother Durazic, somewhere down the line where people have gotten this phobia or this misunderstanding that repentance is a bad thing, that it was for a one-time deal at the altar when you received the Holy Ghost. We ought to be thankful that we can repent and talk to the Lord. at any time, at any place, no matter what's going on, that we can say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, change me, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit within me. Repentance is making a change of the mind and heart and action and meaning it and actually doing it and turning away from the sin and turning towards God.
Amen.
When we pray, we need to ask God for forgiveness. That's our lifeline. How awful it would be for God to deliver some of you from the addictions of life, but yet you don't ask him to forgive you of the spirit of offense or unfaithfulness. You were addicted to drugs and got baptized and God delivered you from that, but you got a bitter spirit and you won't ask God to forgive you for it. How awful would that be? What a tremendous blessing we have to be able to repent before the Lord.
Amen.
At any time. Quit walking around with sins in our heart, heaviness of heart. Don't carry that condemnation around in your heart and your mind.
Amen.
Ask God to forgive you. That's your lifeline. Ask God, forgive me, God. Help me. Help me to search my heart and see if there be any wicked ways in me, oh God. We humble ourselves before the Lord and we kneel down. That's what the Lord was saying. If my people would humble themselves, part of that is repenting and humbling ourselves before God. That's what the scripture says. Humble themselves and pray. And he begins to give an answer and says, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Come on, somebody. You want or need forgiveness of sins? Then pray. You've got to pray. A humble disposition is the first step of repentance. Lifting up our hands and bowing before the Lord and kneeling before the Lord is very humbling. Look, listen to Pastor. Look, everybody makes mistakes. People sin. Nobody's perfect. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and 23, for some have sinned and all have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's reason enough for us to pray.
Yes,
repentance is powerful.
It is.
Scripture tells us in Acts 3 and 19, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Not from the bonus check or the Christmas check or the stimulus check or vacation time, but you or a good nap. Thank the Lord for a good. I've embraced naps over the last year since February. Praise God. But repent therefore and be that the times of refreshing, Sister Marquez, will come from the presence of the Lord. When you can get into that spiritual realm of the presence of the Lord, it happens when you pray. It's repentance, which is a perpetual privilege that we have. God's love and grace isn't just a one-time deal. But let's be careful. Let's not misuse or disrespect the mercies of the Lord. But let's not also walk around in condemnation. Come on, somebody. We want conviction. We need conviction. We got to have holiness of lifestyle internally and outwardly, but we don't need condemnation. The language of the devil is division and disunity and condemnation, but the gift of God is love and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's multiplication and addition. The Lord adds to the church. The Lord blesses his people. The Lord begins to multiply things in our life. And it happens when people begin to pray and they have a humble heart and they're walking in spiritual unity with a God that is able to do anything for anybody at any time.
Right.
Romans 5 and 20 tells us, look how powerful this is. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Powerful Bible verse. Prayer is our lifeline. When we pray, we're able to repent and receive forgiveness. And we need the forgiveness of the Lord.
Yes, we do.
And we need the forgiveness of one another.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Matthew 6 and 12 says, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Without prayer, we're carrying stuff around that we have no business carrying around. Without prayer, we're spiritually gasping for air. And in fact, I find it humorous even more now than ever before that folks understand the end time prophecy that's taking place, things that are happening, the stuff that is taking place rapidly every single day. And there's a lot of talk about church and the Bible and the mark of the beast and prayer. And I know I need to get right, but we don't have standing room only in most churches. Prayer. Prayer. The people of God prayed because they were in need. Just think about this for a moment. I'm going to reference Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, but specifically Acts chapter 6, verse 4. The scripture says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." I want to make sure I nail this down tonight, strangely. What Pastor's talking about is our personal prayer life, our personal daily prayer life. Because point number two is things happen when we pray.
Yeah.
Just think of James, the brother of Jesus. He was, as I've talked some time back, did a series on the book of James. And James was one of the early leaders of the church in Jerusalem. He was a practical man. The book of James is a very practical book of the Bible. And according to Hegesippus, the second century Christian writer, James had the knees of a camel. Because he had calluses on his knees because he was a man of prayer. He would spend so much time praying that he had ended up calluses on his knees. You know, like some ball players that play baseball, they end up with calluses on their hands because they swing a bat. Or if you see wrestlers, they'll have what they call cauliflower ears because they're spending a lot of time wrestling and grappling. It's because that happens over time. And it's the same thing with prayer. Prayer, it changes things. And many times it changes us. It changes our perspective. It changes our attitude, our hearts, our mindset. And then oftentimes it changes situations. It changes the outcomes of things. But prayer is a paradox because it's easy, yet it's hard. It's easy that there's nothing to it, but sometimes it's complicated because folks say, "Well, I don't know how to pray," but yet they'll use 10,000 words all day long talking about stuff. It's hard because we can be disciplined about getting up in the morning, but to carve out 15 minutes a day to pray and talk to the Lord, it's difficult. But if you can understand the revelation that what if you were given the amount of oxygen based on the amount of time that you prayed? Let's look at the testimony that took place in Acts chapter 12. This, to give you a little background, James, the brother of John, was killed with a sword in Acts chapter 12 and verse 3 in the apostle Peter was arrested in the scripture setting, and the church begins to pray. And notice this, in Acts 12 and 5, the word of the Lord says, "While Peter was kept in prison, prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Notice in Acts chapter 12 and verse 6, if you would turn there in your Bibles, it's very, very awesome scripture setting. Verse 7 particularly, verse 6 says, that the apostle Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And the angel of the Lord came upon him, and light shined in the prison, and smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. Notice this, verse 8. The word of the Lord tells us that, or verse 9 rather, that the apostle Peter went out and followed him. And notice this. And wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. And he thought it was a vision. This is awesome. This is the great apostle Peter that preached on the day of Pentecost. Verse 10 says, so he went out and followed him. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them at the stone of court. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed with him. Now, it is a remarkable thing that when the man of God was in need, the church prayed. It's a remarkable thing that the Lord sent an angel, one angel, to help the man of God during a time of need because somebody prayed. Somebody was praying. And notice what the scripture says. When Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Notice this, verse 12. Scripture says, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, where many were gathered together praying. Verse 13 tells us, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, Rhoda comes to the door, a lady comes to the door, and she can hear that it's the Apostle Peter, the scripture says. Verse 14, she can hear that it's the Apostle Peter. She recognized his voice, and she opened not the gate for the door for gladness, but she runs into the house, and she tells them that they're praying. Hey, the Apostle Peter, mm-hmm. He's standing at the door. He's knocking at the door while they're praying. Sister Christy, they're praying. The Lord answers their prayer, Sister Delgado, just like that. And they didn't even believe. The lady didn't believe that it was the Apostle Peter, or they didn't understand what was taking place. And they said, oh, it must be a ghost or a spirit or an angel. And no, it really is the Apostle Peter. And you read the story that he was able to stand there and talk to them and tell them what took place. Saints of God, things happen when you pray. But you have to pray in order for things to happen. These people didn't cry and whine. We don't read that they were bitter. But the scripture says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They didn't go write letters. They didn't go riot. They didn't go protest. They didn't go turn cars over, light them on fire. They didn't sit around and do anything. Mm-mm. Somebody said, it's time to pray.
Yeah.
And they gathered together in a house of prayer to pray. The scripture tells us in James 5 and 13, is any among you afflicted? Let them blast on Facebook what somebody did to you. Right? Let me get my attorney. Everybody seems to have an attorney on retainer now. Man, it was pay good money for that, I guess, right? No, it says, is any among you afflicted? Question mark.
Yeah.
Let him pray. Affliction. You know what affliction is? Hardship. Trouble. Listen to Pastor. Sister Victoria, you could quote Pastor on this. Nowhere in the entire Bible does it say when you have trouble or hardship or afflictions, does it say to get on social media and tell everybody about it?
Nope.
I don't find it in the Bible. I'm sorry. I don't read one verse in the entire Bible when it says you have an affliction or a problem to go gossip about it or to worry about it or to backslide. I don't read anywhere in this Bible at all when it says if you have affliction, to get offended or to stay home. No, it says if you have affliction, anybody have affliction, let him pray. It would do all of us a whole lot of good to remember that when you're having hardships or trouble, to pray, to pray, to pray, to pray. In all 66 books of the Bible, it does not recommend staying up at night and worrying about something or calling everyone to get their opinion. In fact, it says if you're afflicted, to pray. I say if you've got energy and time to worry about it, then you've got energy and time to pray about it. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in some things, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto man.
Unto God.
I like what the New Living Translation says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need.
Yeah.
And thank him for all he's done. It's time to pray.
Amen.
Staying home and not coming to church is not praying about it.
Amen.
Getting on the gossip line? Not praying about it. But getting on your knees.
Right.
Humbling yourselves before the Lord. And listen, and putting the affliction and the afflictors on the altar is doing something about it. David said in Psalm 118:5, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me. It's time to pray. Somebody say it's time to pray. Don't be distracted. Don't be seduced by the affliction or the afflictors, but take it to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
It's going to take discipline. It's going to take time, but it's worth it. It's worth it. Romans 12:12 says, continuing instant in prayer. You break that down in a New Living Translation. It says, keep on praying.
Mm-hmm.
I say when you've prayed once, keep praying and pray some more. You know that prayerlessness is not a spiritual gift. It's not something to be proud of.
No.
But a person that prays, that's powerful. Because things begin to happen when we pray. Notice James 5:14. It says, is any sick among you? Now I know there's anybody here that's sick, because if you are, you shouldn't be at church. But it says, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now listen to Pastor. You need to hear this very clearly tonight, because I don't want anybody misrepresenting what I'm saying. It doesn't say go to the doctor first. But it also doesn't say to not go to the doctor.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Right.
But let's remember who the great physician is.
Right.
And many times he uses men and medicine to help us. But we have seen over and over and over again. The anointed word and prayer go forth and God do something in somebody's life. Somebody say, it's time to pray. Can anybody testify of being sick and praying and God healing your body? Things happen when you pray. We've seen miracles take place in this building. Every miracle we've seen take place in this building happened because of prayer. Always because of prayer. Because God hears our prayers. We serve a prayer answering God.
Amen.
What I'm about to share with you is exciting. Scripture tells us in James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
Amen.
That effectual fervent is it's in its writing, it's the energeo prayer, the active prayer. It's a prayer that is active, not a prayer that is lukewarm or cold, but an active prayer, like a fire that is hot. Scripture says the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Another rendition says the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Think on this for a moment. This fish gets what it needs by being in the water. It thrives because it's in the water. That's what it needs. It needs water. I understand it's got to eat, but the fish thrives when it has water. You know when we thrive? When we're in the will of God. You know how you get in the will of God? You stay prayed up. Got your mind on Jesus, not on your money, not on your job, not on your relationship, not on your wedding, not on your college degree. You got your mind on Jesus. No one will say, you know, I get to talk to Jesus. He gets to talk to me. I've told him about everything I need. I'm going to church on Wednesday. And if pastor's doing what he's supposed to be doing, the Lord's going to be talking to him. And I'm going to receive something from the Lord. Because we serve a God that answers prayers. Somebody say, it's time to pray. We can sermonize. We can practice. We can plan. I could study and study and study, but if I'm not praying, all I am no different than giving you a book and say, read it for yourself. But let me tell you something. If something ever happens to Pastor Pinero, I'm going to teach you something, right? If something ever happens to Pastor Pinero, don't you ever let anybody become the pastor of this church that does not pray. I don't care how popular they are, how many conferences they preach, how big their church was before. If they don't have they can't pray, do not let them stand and lead this church into anything, because they're not going to lead you to anything but in the flesh. We want people that are going to seek first the kingdom of God. Not my will, but God's will be done. Praise team, musicians. Leadership, moms and dads, nobody's exempt from prayer. Nobody. God will use you to minister to others if you're praying. Talent is good. How many appreciate talent? Nobody appreciates talent. But prayer is better. Practice is good. Sister Ellen, practice is good. But prayer is better. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. Yeah. It was James that said that the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Come on, somebody. I hope that you're stirred this evening and said, Pastor, I thought I was doing good, but I got to do a lot better. I got to pray. I got to pray. I got to talk to God. I need to pray. I need to pray. I need to talk to Jesus. Notice something. The disciples did not ask Jesus to teach them how to preach or to build a church. The disciples, they didn't ask Jesus, show us how to do great miracles. You're not going to find that in the Bible. But they asked him to teach them how to pray. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Sister Rodriguez said, all that they could have asked Jesus. In Luke 11:1, notice, and it came to pass that as he was praying, Jesus in a certain place, when he stopped praying, one of his disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Show me how to pray. Sometimes we may say, maybe if I could have walked with Jesus in the flesh, it would have been easier. But I tell you that he walks with us. He's just as close to us today as he's ever been.
Amen.
It's the mention of his name. The disciples were with him, yet they failed. Apostle Peter failed. Judah, major. We don't even talk about Judah in a positive way. It's always Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed the Lord. But you know that if Judas would have ever repented, the Lord would have forgave him. Judas would have repented. Judas didn't get to know the Jesus that we know today. These disciples saw miracles take place in their very hands. But you know that God is entrusting us, the end time church. What a remarkable testimony for the bottom that he's entrusting us to lead during this time. What a blessing. What a blessing. We are energized in prayer. We become stronger in prayer. We become convicted. I'm coming to a close in prayer. We become united in prayer. Acts 2 and 42 tells us, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Sister Michaela, if you would come, you just come and play one song softly. It's time to pray, Revival Tabernacle.
Amen.
If there's ever been a time for you and me individually and corporately to pray, time is now. This world is spiraling out of control. There's not much clarity that we can glean from. But we can hear. The scripture says, he that didn't hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. The Lord is speaking.
Amen.
Very loud and clear, very, very loud. I feel rest assured that I'm hearing the clarity of the Lord. And the Lord is not talking about doing new methods or grandiose things. The Lord is wanting us to be a people that will know the Lord.
Yeah.
To make him known.
Amen.
And he'll do the rest. But we've got to know the Lord. We've got to know him. And how we get to know him is we spend time with God. We spend time with the Lord. As we stand this evening, you remember 2 years ago? I say that loosely. It's not exactly 2 years. Everybody was wanting to pray, wanted to pray and come to the church and pray. I never had so many people want to come and pray at the church. There's still people that come every day into the church and pray. But it's because the Lord, things shook. We were experiencing things we never experienced before. There was a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Don't get comfortable, saints of God. Don't get lukewarm. Don't become apathetic in your walk with God. But let that fresh fire, let that fresh unction of the Spirit of God, let that the prayers that we pray, let there be a passion for prayer. You need prayer like this fish needs water. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. I wonder tonight if we could just find a place to pray. Lift our voices and just talk to the Lord. Just talk to the Lord for a few minutes together, saints of God. Come on, let's talk to Jesus. Let's